Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, your host of CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. And yes, we have reached the end of 2021, and this week for our very last podcast of the calendar year, we're going to do something just a little bit different. And my guest today is none other than Mr. George Courtney, who's our Vice President of Stewardship and Legacy Giving. And George and I have been talking about this year-end podcast for a while, so I thought we'd get together today and have a kind of a year-end review. So how are we going to kick this off, George?
Well, Mike, thank you for inviting me to be a part of this program. I've been listening to CMDA Matters now for a couple of years, very blessed by all of your guests. And now it's my opportunity to sort of turn the tables and begin to ask you a few questions as we reflect back on God's ministry here at CMDA in 2021.
So it's my turn to sweat a few bullets, I
Absolutely.
Guess, today as your guest, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Well, let's jump in to this year in review.
What are some of the highlights for you from 2021 personally, but then also as you think about CMDA and all that God has accomplished here?
Well, George, I have to say that my highlight of this year is just thinking back that my soulmate, Pam, and I in August got to celebrate 30 years of marriage. And God bless me with an incredible partner to walk through this journey of life. And she's been at my side, globetrotting to Africa back and forth a gazillion times. And now she's been delighted to move here and make base camp in Bristol, Tennessee. But also, at the end of October, Pam and I celebrated the arrival of our very first grandchild, a daughter to our son, our oldest, Stephen, and his wife, Rose. And just before their first wedding anniversary, they welcomed into the world Blakely Rose, whom I affectionately call Rosebud.
Oh, that's great. I hear the grandparent years are wonderful, and I can see by the gleam on your face that it's true for the Chupp family.
Well, we plastered on a Christmas card to our members over a couple thousand pictures of Pam and I and Blakely Rose in our arms this month.
That's great.
Well, as far as CMDA is concerned, there are too many highlights for me to talk about every one of them, George, but certainly hosting our first ever virtual national convention this last April, and had never really done that before, but God blessed us with an incredible team from digital media, communications, IT, and pulled that off. We heard just so many accolades about how that turned out for our members who participated, many hundreds who attended virtually. Also, we celebrated in May and June actually getting back out into the field with our global health outreach teams and medical education international teams. Not as big a teams as before, understandably, and not as many, but we did break through that barrier. It had been over a year since we had sent teams. And then in July, George, you are well aware, we celebrated a record financial year for CMDA, a surplus that helped us at just the right time as we kicked into gear our new strategic plan. Also, we got a great decision from a Texas court, a district court. 5-6 years ago, Dave Stevens and the board launched a lawsuit against Health and Human Services against the transgender mandate, as we have been calling it. And we got a permanent injunction for our members to be protected, that they would not be accused of discrimination if they choose not to participate in gender transition treatments, as well as abortion referrals, which is what this meant. So we celebrate that. And then also along the lines of advocacy, I'll finish up with this highlight. We saw the fruition of some 2 or 3 years of work. We brought together several like-minded associations that believe in Hippocratic medicine, and we have worked through the development of the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And on December 1st, all of the 6 organizations, founding organizations, were on the steps of the Supreme Court as we supported the Attorney General for the state of Mississippi, as she and her Solicitor General took the case of the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Center case to the Supreme Court. We were there, 80 white coats. It was a historic moment. We were told that many white coats had never shown up on the steps of the Supreme Court before. That was one of the highlights, frankly, for my whole life in medicine.
As we think about 2021 and coming into 2021, even the pandemic, it's now been hanging around with us for 24 months. We thought we could just make it to 2021. It would go away, and it didn't. And there's been so many lessons that we've learned personally and professionally and ministry-wise. take a few minutes and share with us some of the learning opportunities we've had, the challenges we faced as a result of the pandemic.
I've been thinking about when I was in Kenya in 1997, had just taken over the role as medical director of a very large mission hospital. And interestingly enough, George, something similar happened to me, though not quite of the magnitude of a global pandemic, but 7 months, like one of the worst malaria outbreaks in Kenya that I'd ever experienced. We had to close down elective surgery. We had to make all of these adjustments. Staff were just pushed. We had patients on the floor in the chapel for 2 months. And then the month following, as if that wasn't enough, there was an outbreak of cholera. And, you know, malaria patients aren't contagious. Cholera patients, on the other hand, scared our nurses half to death, and half of them wanted to just leave. And so just working through that unusual circumstance on the fly and trying to show grace and generosity and patience. Now, fast forward, you know, 20 years later, and those are some of the same feelings that I've had and been in the fog in some respects in terms of what is the right response to all kinds of challenges that have come. And we want to support our members as best we can, given the challenges that we face. But I'm so proud of our ethics committee last year that produced a couple of very important ethics statements that have guided us through this pandemic, one on the duty to care. And the other is what to do when resources are scarce. Those have been guiding documents, especially that one on the duty to care. And it really helps our members, Christ followers in healthcare, to stand out, to be sacrificial, to give on behalf of their patients and their community. They've been shining examples of what Jesus wants us to do as servant leaders, sacrificial servant leaders in healthcare.
As we moved into 2021, a large priority coming out of 2020 was strategic planning. I would like for you to take for a moment and just share with our listeners a little bit about the process and then more about where we're headed, our KRAs, how we're going to measure success. So take a few moments today and share with us.
We started off with a stakeholder analysis, basically a very extensive survey. Over 2,300 people answered that survey.
Remarkable.
So we didn't rely upon our own ability to interpret the results. We actually hired not just one, but two different consultants to evaluate the results and help us to interpret those results. And then in January of 2021, we presented that along with some results from some focus groups and brought that to the board. And then the board, for a day and a half, intensely went through presentations. And the work product that came from that January day and a half were 9 strategic objectives or key questions that were asked on how can we do this and this and this, 9 of them that were handed to me and to our administrative leadership team, for which we produced over the subsequent several months, 85 goals. The board then in September approved those specific goals. They also took a look at, just didn't accept our mission and vision and values from the past, George, but at the very beginning, took another hard look at our mission and came up with that CMDA is all about educating, encouraging, and equipping Christian healthcare professionals to glorify God. For the purpose of our vision statement now is bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through healthcare professionals.
Amen.
A really important part of this that helps me to explain it to our members and to constituents are 4 key result areas, George. Community, C. A for advocacy, S service, and E equipping. So CASE, the acronym CASE. And so we are building the case for bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world. And each of those areas have a number of ministries listed under those, what one of our board members says are buckets of ministry.
Absolutely. Out of that has come a number of really exciting new resources, Faith Prescriptions, Bridging the Gap, the CMDA Learning Center, and then also the CMDA Go app. And those 4 resources are tremendous growth and opportunities for our membership.
They absolutely are, George. And I've been very excited about those first two that you mentioned for some time. Faith Prescriptions is a 3.0 version of what Walt Larimore and Bill Peel, under the guidance of Dave Stevens and Gene Rudd, started in the 90s, but basically integrating your faith into your healthcare practice. But this is 3.0. These are shorter videos, 13 to 15 minute modules with discussion questions. And one of our goals with this series was to make it possible, practical, for students and residents to get this training early on. Because something that's pretty well known is often it's the graduates who end up who did the grace prescriptions and before that saline solution. But we wanted this to be able to be taken in small, bite-sized, reliable pieces so that a group of students even could fit this into a lunch hour, which is common for our student groups to do during the week, and go through these so that they're introduced, because they're not being introduced to it in their secular medical school campuses. They're not being introduced to the concept of spiritual care. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to students as early as possible so that it's just a natural extension. And for those who listen to the podcast regularly, you heard two students a couple of weeks ago from Campbell University who are just poster students for applying that training. And then the other is Bridging the Gap, very important curriculum, because the last part of our mission statement is advancing biblical principles of healthcare within the church and throughout the world. And we really didn't have anything to present to the church from our members as healthcare professionals. And so a group had been working. Dave Stevens had this vision several years ago with one of our board members now, Dr. Brick Lance, started a commission. It's now been brought in-house, because we really feel this needs constant attention. So we've had well over 700 downloads of this curriculum. And my own pastor, I've heard this story over and over again, a healthcare professional like myself or our members go to their pastor, and 9 times out of 10, if our member who has a good relationship with their pastor or adult education director, that individual, him or her, will respond in a very favorable manner and say, yes, this 8-week series makes a lot of sense. The cutting edge issues of our day, taking those into the church and bridging the gap between church and healthcare science done by healthcare professionals of faith.
That's wonderful. There are larger ministries that have been foundational ministries to CMDA, a lot of our members involved. And I wanted to take a moment and just ask if you would highlight a few of those.
The number one objective that the board gave to us is becoming as effective as we possibly can at mentoring our members through the transitions of a healthcare professional life. There are many transitions, not the least of which is students to residents, residents to practice, and also going even further back than that, undergrads going into grad school. And so our top level objective is becoming really good at fostering mentoring relationships, and not just mentoring, but also discipleship mixed with that. And so Reverend Bill Reichert, our vice president for campus and community ministries, and our four regional directors are working very hard to curate and create resources that will support a mentoring network across all of our ministries and raise up the opportunities for our older members to mentor younger members. So that is a prime focus of campus community ministries. We're also focusing on getting more and more into undergraduate level, because med students hit the door of their medical school or dental school and they're already hit with a lot of adversity for the things they believe. And if they even just whisper that they're Christians, it seems like they're already behind the eight ball. So getting to undergrads and preparing them for what's ahead, helping them get into medical school and dental school and PA school and so forth, and then helping them be successful when they're there. In advocacy, we are excited about an event in which we are planning on launching the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine with our partners. And we have invited countless leaders across the spectrum, faith-based and non-faith-based organizations, but who believe in traditional Hippocratic medicine. Above all else, do no harm and protect conscience. So we'd appreciate prayers for that. Also, looking forward to, though we had a great decision in August in that Texas court, it's been appealed once again to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we are trusting God for the outcome of that, and even if it needs to go on to the Supreme Court, that we're going to protect contending for the practice of conscientious patient care for our members. You mentioned our service ministries of GHO and MEI, our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. We are wanting to encourage more and more students and residents to do short-term missions while they're in training. That experience for me as a student and resident was life-changing. And so we are blessed with an incredible number of scholarships and funds to give to students and residents, including minority students. We're really trying to work hard with the help of our RED committee, Racism, Reconciliation, Equality, and Diversity Committee to figure out how to get in historically black colleges and universities, get more and more minorities involved in missions. So we have scholarships specifically for minorities.
That's wonderful.
And then last, you mentioned a couple of our equipping ministries. We hired in May full-time Pastor Bert Jones to head up our Center for Well-Being. Our coaching ministry has just taken off in its seventh year. Coaching has become a way of helping our members through difficult, challenging times and avoid burnout or deal with burnout and be successful and flourishing in their careers.
That's great. I also, this question I've been waiting for because it refers to an area I work in, mm-hmm. and I get to rub shoulders with donors and supporters of CMDA. How important is donor support to CMDA?
Well, it's vital, George. I mean, many people may believe that the annual dues for our members covers a lot of our costs. It doesn't. It's only about 13% of our total revenue. We have various programs that we have, and that's about a quarter of our revenue. But over 50%, around 54% of our needed revenue income each year comes from our donors. Quite important.
We've just finished an important time of the year for us, the end of 2021, December. It's a high giving month, and we had a special opportunity called a matching gift. And I just wanted to ask today, how legitimate is a matching gift at CMDA whenever we talk about this?
Well, good question, George. In my past, working at a mission hospital, I never really thought about a matching gift. But my wife and I learned the power of a matching gift just before coming to CMDA as we were raising funds to build a home in Kenya to make more room as we were recruiting more doctors, missionary doctors. And then came to CMDA and realized that over the course of many years that Dave Stevens and helped by your stewardship department found that our members, donors, were very willing to encourage and kind of push one another, prod one another with matching gifts. And our members have responded just so graciously and generously over many, many years. So our commitment that we've worked on together is that we will be very open with our listeners, with our donors and members, that when we reach that matching gift, we'll let people know that. We won't just keep people, you know, hanging and believe that, you know, that their gift also will be matched. So the case is now we have for December, we had a generous donor offer $100,000 as a matching gift. And that came in, I believe, probably in the second week of December. But the target certainly goes well beyond that. Why don't you tell our listeners about the target that we've had?
Absolutely. Our target for the month of November and December has been $670,000. That's a large number. It's mm-hmm. a faith number for us. And we believe, though, through God's blessings, that we can get there with the generosity of many. And as you mentioned, we've matched that first $100,000. We still have a few days left here in December. So let me encourage those who are listening today, it is not too late. If you will postmark a gift
Absolutely.
Before December 31st, it'll get counted in 2021 for tax purposes, but also for helping us meet our financial goal that we believe is needed to just springboard us into a new year of strong and healthy ministry. Also, they could go online. They could simply go to cmda.org/give, and it'll take them to a giving page where they could make a gift online. Or the third way they could do it is call us. Give us a call here at CMDA, and that number is 423-844-1000. And if you'll call that today or toll-free, they could call us at 888-230-2637. And make a gift over the phone. Well, as we begin 2022, I can't help but ask the question, what's some vision that you have for CMDA in 2022?
We've been talking about this strategic plan and all sorts of the objectives that we have as well as the goals that we have. But I would say that we would advance on every single front that we have set before us and planned, educating, encouraging, and equipping Christian healthcare professionals to glorify God. And in the next 12 months, that we would see that plan in so many different ways that our board would be so pleased that we make significant progress on that plan. And I can't tell our listeners enough how blessed I feel every morning when I get out of bed and know the kind of leadership team that I'm working with at CMDA, passionate and gifted group of senior leaders who direct all the areas of our ministry across those key areas of strengthening, building community, promoting, advancing, growing our advocacy efforts, especially on the things that Jesus talked about a lot. So advocating for Christ's priorities is one of the things we're going to focus on for sure. And then in service and equipping for our members. So that is our focus, that we accomplish the things we said we're going to accomplish in our strategic plan. And for our listeners, our magazine, excellent, an article that came out that we wrote that outlines the various details under each one of those areas of ministry.
What are some of the top prayer concerns? We have a lot of really strong prayer warriors, people of faith, who really believe in calling down heaven to equip us, encourage us, and prepare us for what God has in front. How could they be praying with us?
I want our listeners to understand that our student groups are under tremendous fire today, that tremendous adversity. The ideologues, if you will, have made healthcare training campuses like medical or dental schools their synagogues. And so whether the issue is conscience protection, marriage and sexuality with the redefining of gender, our students continue to face pressure just because they're under the banner of CMDA, not because they've done anything provocative. They can be as winsome as they can be, but some of the LGBTQ groups have checked out CMDA in our position statements and therefore have brought fire, gone to the administration, complained about our students. And so pray for our students in this environment. I've been so impressed with this Generation Z's that are loyal to their Master Jesus Christ, and they just want to know how best to respond. And so equipping them, pray that we would do an effective job at standing with our student groups across the country and be patient with those, even a few who've disassociated from us because they just felt there was too much sacrifice involved in associated with CMDA. So pray for those. Even some of those would be reinstated with us. Also pray for the well-being and flourishing of our members, many of whom, it's a stretching time with the COVID pandemic. Many feel isolated, facing pressure from employers and their HR departments for all kinds of things. And I think our friend at Duke University, Dr. Farr Curlin, he calls it in his book, The Way of Medicine, published this year, the demoralization of the medical profession over the past few decades. But especially the pandemic has just exacerbated that demoralization. So praying for the flourishing of our members, pray for each other. And then I would say, Georgia, focus that our board and our House of Representatives, advised by our ethics committee, together with us in administration, that we would wisely, but with the Spirit's guidance, would give us determination and courage to engage on some critical discussions in this coming year involving some really front burner topics like racism, especially in this climate of a lot of discussion of critical race theory. That theory has caused so much division and hurt in the church today, and it has really divided some major Christian ministries in 2021. Issues of sexuality and gender identity that we'll be tackling in 2022. And then also pray for key partnerships that we maybe already have initiated or should initiate and grow for the benefit of our members and the patients and healthcare systems that they represent. Also, the whole body of Christ, that we would be a support in 2022 to the whole body of Christ, His church, and of course, that we help our members to help patients and the clients and their colleagues in this country where our members serve.
I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with you today, to sort of change the roles, ask you a few questions. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for who you are and your desire to honor God. And I trust that our members really heard and saw that today. And as you shared with us the vision of CMDA, where we've been, where we're headed.
Well, thanks for using kid gloves with me today, George, in this interview. And as we close this final 2021 program, for all of you listening, I just want to leave you with a Davidic blessing in prayer from Psalm chapter 20 that goes like this. In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May He send you help from His sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your offerings. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May we in Bristol shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. And finally, may the Lord answer all of your prayers. Happy New Year, CMDA, and thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week, God willing, in first week of January 2022. God bless you.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.